Chapter 73. Miss Nickleby, rendered desperate by the persecution of Sir Mulberry Hawk, and the complicated difficulties and distresses which surround her, appeals, as a last resource, to her uncle for protection. The ensuing morning brought reflection with it, as morning usually does. But widely different was the train of thought it awakened in the different persons who had been so unexpectedly brought together on the preceding evening, by the active agency of Messrs. Pike and Pluck. The reflections of Sir Mulberry Hawk, if such a term can be applied to the thoughts of the systematic and calculating man of dissipation, whose joys, regrets, pains, and pleasures, are all of self, and who would seem to retain nothing of the intellectual faculty, but the power to debase himself, and to degrade the very nature whose outward semblance he wears, the reflections of Sir Mulberry Hawk turned upon Kate Nickleby, and were, in brief, that she was undoubtedly handsome, that her coyness must be easily conquerable by a man of his address and experience, and that the pursuit was one which could not fail to redound to his credit, and greatly to enhance his reputation with the world. And lest this last consideration, no mean or secondary one with Sir Mulberry, should sound strangely in the ears of some, let it be remembered, that most men live in a world of their own, and that in that limited circle alone are they ambitious for distinction and applause. Sir Mulberry's world was peopled with profligates, and he acted accordingly. Thus, cases of injustice, and oppression, and tyranny, and the most extravagant bigotry, are in constant occurrence among us every day. It is the custom to trumpet forth much wonder and astonishment at the chief actors there setting at defiance so completely the opinion of the world. But there is no greater fallacy. It is precisely because they do consult the opinion of their own little world that such things take place at all, and strike the great world dumb with amazement. The reflections of Mrs. Nickleby were of the proudest and most complacent kind, and under the influence of her very agreeable delusion she straightway sat down, and ended a long letter to Kate, in which she expressed her entire approval of the admirable choice she had made, and extolled Sir Mulberry to the skies, asserting, for the more complete satisfaction of her daughter's feelings, that he was precisely the individual whom she, Mrs. Nickleby, would have chosen for her son-in-law, if she had had the picking and choosing from all mankind. The good lady then, with the preliminary observation, that she might be fairly supposed, not to have lived in the world so long without knowing its ways, communicated a great many subtle precepts applicable to the state of courtship, and confirmed in their wisdom by her own personal experience. Above all things she commended a strict maidenly reserve, as being not only a very laudable thing in itself, but as tending materially to strengthen and increase a lover's ardor. And I never, apostrophe added Mrs. Nickleby, was more delighted in my life than to observe last night, my dear, that your good sense had already told you this. Apostrophe with which sentiment, and various hints of the pleasure she derived from the knowledge, that her daughter inherited so large an installment of her own excellent sense and discretion, to nearly the full measure of which she might hope, with care, to succeed in time, Mrs. Nickleby concluded a very long, and rather legible letter. Poor Kate was well nigh distracted on the receipt of four closely written and closely crossed sides of congratulation on the very subject which had prevented her closing her eyes all night, and kept her weeping and watching in her chamber. Still worse and more trying was the necessity of rendering herself agreeable to Mrs. Wititterly, who, being in low spirits after the fatigue of the preceding night, of course expected her companion elsewhere, for had she board and salary? To be in the best spirits possible. As to Mr. Wititterly, he went about all day in a tremor of delight at having shaken hands with a lord, and having actually asked him to come and see him in his own house. The lord himself, not being troubled to any inconvenient extent with the power of thinking, regaled himself with the conversation of Messrs. Pike and Pluck, who sharpened their wit by a plentiful indulgence in various costly stimulants at his expense. It was 4 in the afternoon, that is, the vulgar afternoon of the sun, and the clock and Mrs. Witherly reclined, according to custom, on the drawing-room sofa, while Kate read aloud a new novel in 3 volumes, entitled The Lady Flabella, apostrophe which Alphonse the Doubtful had procured from the library that very morning. And it was a production admirably suited to a lady laboring under Mrs. Witherly's complaint, seeing that there was not a line in it, from beginning to end, which could, by the most remote contingency, awaken the smallest excitement in any person breathing. Kate read on. "Cherizette," said the Lady Flabella, inserting her mouse-like feet in the blue satin slippers, which had unwittingly occasioned the half-playful, half-angry altercation between herself and the youthful Colonel Beffeler, in the Duke of Monsefanil's Salon de Dance on the previous night. "Cherizette, ma chère, donnez moi de l'eau de cologne, s'il vous plaît, mon enfant." "Mercy, thank you," said the Lady Flabella, as the lively, but devoted Cherizette plentifully besprinkled with the fragrant compound the Lady Flabella's mouchoir of finest cambric, etched with richest lace, and emblazoned at the 4 corners with the Flabella crest, and gorgeous heraldic bearings of that noble family. "Mercy, that will do." At this instant, while the Lady Flabella yet inhaled that delicious fragrance, by holding the mouchoir to her exquisite, but thoughtfully chiseled nose, the door of the boudoir artfully concealed by rich hangings of silk and damask, the hue of Italy's firmament, was thrown open, and with noiseless tread 2 valets de chambre, clad in sumptuous liveries of peach blossom and gold, advanced into the room followed by a page in bas de soie silk stockings who, while they remained at some distance making the most graceful obeisances, advanced to the feet of his lovely mistress, and dropping on one knee presented, on a golden salver gorgeously chased, a scented billet. The Lady Flabella, with an agitation she could not repress, hastily tore off the envelope, and broke the scented seal. It was from Beffeler the young, the slim, the low-voiced her own Beffeler. Apostrophe, oh, charming. Apostrophe, apostrophe, interrupted Kate's patroness, who was sometimes taken literary. Poetic, really. Read that description again, Miss Nickleby. Apostrophe, Kate complied. Sweet, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Witherly, with a sigh. So voluptuous, is it not so soft? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I think it is, apostrophe, replied Kate, gently, very soft. Apostrophe, close the book, Miss Nickleby, apostrophe, said Mrs. Witherly. I can hear nothing more today. I should be sorry to disturb the impression of that sweet description. Close the book. Apostrophe, Kate complied, not unwillingly. And, as she did so, Mrs. Witherly, raising her glass with a languid hand, remarked that she looked pale. It was the fright of that noise and confusion last night, apostrophe, said Kate. How very odd. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mrs. Witherly, with a look of surprise. And certainly, when one comes to think of it, it was very odd that anything should have disturbed a companion. A steam engine, or other ingenious piece of mechanism out of order, would have been nothing to it. How did you come to know Lord Frederick, and those other delightful creatures, child? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mrs. Witherly, still eyeing Kate through her glass. I met them at my uncle's, apostrophe, said Kate, vexed to feel that she was coloring deeply, but unable to keep down the blood which rushed to her face whenever she thought of that man. Have you known them long? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, apostrophe, rejoined Kate. Not long. Apostrophe, I was very glad of the opportunity which that respectable person, your mother, gave us of being known to them, apostrophe, said Mrs. Witherly, in a lofty manner. Some friends of ours were on the very point of introducing us, which makes it quite remarkable. Apostrophe, this was said lest Miss Nickleby should grow conceited on the honor and dignity of having known 4 great people, for Pike and Pluck were included among the delightful creatures, whom Mrs. Witherly did not know. but as the circumstance had made no impression one way or other upon Kate's mind, the force of the observation was quite lost upon her. They asked permission to call, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly. I gave it them, of course. Apostrophe, do you expect them today? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Kate ventured to inquire. Mrs. Witherly's answer was lost in the noise of a tremendous rapping at the street door, and before it had ceased to vibrate, there drove up a handsome cabriolet, out of which leaped Sir Mulberry Hawk and his friend Lord Verisopht. They are here now, apostrophe said Kate, rising, and hurrying away. Miss Nickleby. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Witherly, perfectly aghast at a companion's attempting to quit the room, without her permission first had and obtained. Pray don't think of going. Apostrophe, you are very good. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Kate. But apostrophe, for goodness' sake, don't agitate me by making me speak so much, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly, with great sharpness. Dear me, Miss Nickleby, I beg apostrophe, it was in vain for Kate to protest that she was unwell, for the footsteps of the knockers, whoever they were already on the stairs. She resumed her seat, and had scarcely done so, when the doubtful page darted into the room and announced, Mr. Pike, and Mr. Pluck, and Lord Verisopht, and Sir Mulberry Hawk, all at one burst. The most extraordinary thing in the world, apostrophe said Mr. Pluck, saluting both ladies with the utmost cordiality, the most extraordinary thing. As Lord Frederick and Sir Mulberry drove up to the door, Pike and I at that instant knocked. Apostrophe, that instant knocked, apostrophe said Pike. No matter how you came, so that you are here, apostrophe said Mrs. Witherly, who, by dint of lying on the same sofa for 3 years and a half, had got up quite a little pantomime of graceful attitudes, and now threw herself into the most striking of the whole series, to astonish the visitors. I am delighted, I am sure. Apostrophe, and how is Miss Nickleby? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sir Mulberry Hawk, accosting Kate, in a low voice not so low, however, but that it reached the ears of Mrs. Witherly. Why, she complains of suffering from the fright of last night, apostrophe, said the lady. I am sure I don't wonder at it, for my nerves are quite torn to pieces. Apostrophe, and yet you look, apostrophe, observed Sir Mulberry, turning round. And yet you look, apostrophe, beyond everything, apostrophe, said Mr. Pike, coming to his patron's assistance. Of course Mr. Pluck said the same. I am afraid Sir Mulberry is a flatterer, my lord, apostrophe, said Mrs. Witherly, turning to that young gentleman, who had been sucking the head of his cane in silence, and staring at Kate. Oh, devilish! Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Verisopht. Having given utterance to which remarkable sentiment, he occupied himself as before. Neither does Miss Nickleby look the worse, apostrophe said Sir Mulberry, bending his bold gaze upon her. She was always handsome, but upon my soul, ma'am, you seem to have imparted some of your own good looks to her besides. Apostrophe, to judge from the glow which suffused the poor girl's countenance after this speech, Mrs. Witherly might, with some show of reason, have been supposed to have imparted to it some of that artificial bloom which decorated her own. Mrs. Witherly admitted, though not with the best grace in the world, that Kate did look pretty. She began to think, too, that Sir Mulberry was not quite so agreeable a creature as she had at first supposed him. For, although a skillful flatterer is a most delightful companion, if you can keep him all to yourself, his taste becomes very doubtful when he takes to complimenting other people. Pike, apostrophe said the watchful Mr. Pluck, observing the effect which the praise of Miss Nickleby had produced. Well, Pluck, apostrophe said Pike. Is there anybody, apostrophe demanded Mr. Pluck, mysteriously, anybody you know, that Mrs. Witherly's profile reminds you of? Apostrophe, apostrophe, reminds me of. Apostrophe, apostrophe, answered Pike. Of course there is. Apostrophe, who do you mean? ..." said Pluck, in the same mysterious manner. "The D of B?" ..." the C of B," replied Pike, with the faintest trace of a grin lingering in his countenance. "The beautiful sister is the Countess, not the Duchess." "True," said Pluck, "the C of B. The resemblance is wonderful." "Perfectly startling," said Mr. Pike. Here was a state of things. Mrs. Witherly was declared, upon the testimony of two veracious and competent witnesses, to be the very picture of a countess. This was one of the consequences of getting into good society. Why, she might have moved among groveling people for 20 years, and never heard of it. How could she, indeed? What did they know about countesses? The two gentlemen having, by the greediness with which this little bait was swallowed, tested the extent of Mrs. Witherly's appetite for adulation, proceeded to administer that commodity in very large doses, thus affording to Sir Mulberry Hawk an opportunity of pestering Miss Nickleby with questions and remarks, to which she was absolutely obliged to make some reply. Meanwhile, Lord Verisopht enjoyed unmolested the full flavor of the gold knob at the top of his cane, as he would have done to the end of the interview, if Mr. Witherly had not come home, and caused the conversation to turn to his favorite topic. "My lord," said Mr. Witherly, "I am delighted, honored, proud. Be seated again, my lord, pray. I am proud, indeed most proud." It was to the secret annoyance of his wife that Mr. Witherly said all this, for, although she was bursting with pride and arrogance, she would have had the illustrious guests believe that their visit was quite a common occurrence, and that they had lords and baronets to see them every day in the week. But Mr. Witherly's feelings were beyond the power of suppression. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.